Looking today at 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read just a few verses here, verses 10 through 14 of 2 Timothy 3. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in the pew there. You can pick that out and you can pull out page 1192, page 1192, and there you will find 2 Timothy chapter 3. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. The Word of God says, "Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Amen. So there's a social phenomenon that we have out there called influencers. Have you heard that term? Influencers. Or to be more specific, social media influencers, which is a term to describe those who have credibility in a certain industry or are famous in such a way that they have access to a large audience and they can get followers by virtue of their status, their authenticity, and their reach. These influencers will get paid for that influence. They usually do this on Instagram, on our smartphones. They take pictures, they take videos to get followers who presumably will buy the products of the person who is sponsoring the post. Influencers. Well, I looked up who are the most famous influencers right now. And right now, I came up with two right now, and they kind of change around. But one of them is the actress and the singer and the model Selena Gomez. She advertises everything on her Instagram account from Coca-Cola to Adidas to her own high-end fashions. The other one that's very close in terms of followers is the Portuguese soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo, who promotes Nike products, his own shoe products, headphones, all kinds of things. Now get this, each of them have in the neighborhood of 144 million followers as influencers. And then this will blow me away. They can get upwards of $800,000 to $1 million per post, picture or video. I am planning to put more pictures of my grandkids on Instagram. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing to me. You have influencers and you have followers. And this is kind of a new phenomenon since Instagram came out in 2010. But the concept of influencers and followers is not new. History has always had those who are the influencers and those who are the followers. And particularly as Christians, we believe in influencers and followers, only we have different terms for them. We call them disciplers and disciples. And our motivation is not advertising, it's not narcissism, it's not making money, it's not getting a bunch of groupies to follow us. Our desire is to be influencers and followers for Jesus, in helping people become and leading them become fully devoted followers of Jesus. As we continue our study today, finishing strong, faithfulness and encouragement and following Jesus to the end, I want to look at influencers for Jesus and followers of Jesus. Or if you prefer, we're going to talk about the theme of our church this year is discipleship, being disciplers and disciples for Jesus, and hopefully this will make sense as we go through the text today. Let's begin, first of all, with the role of the influencer, or if you will, the discipler. What's the role of the influencer? Notice in verse 10, Paul makes a little transition here in verse 10. He gives us a contrast from what he's written earlier in chapter 3. The contrast begins with the phrase, "Now you." And actually the word "you," the pronoun, is emphatic and emphasized. It actually comes first in the Greek. So the emphasis is, "Now Timothy, as for you." Now remember, Paul has just finished identifying and pointing out those who are bad influencers that are affecting the church where Timothy is. They are characterized by the things in verses 2-5 that are evil. They are false teachers. So Paul reminds Timothy, "But as for you, you were not influenced by these bad people, but instead you were influenced by me." Now the key phrase in verse 10 is the phrase, "You followed." You followed. Now the word "followed" means to get on the same road with, or to be on the way with. It means to follow near, to conform, or to fully know. And it's in the past tense, so he's saying, "You were on the road with me, you knew about me." The NIV says, "You know all about these things that I showed you." William Barclay, in his commentary, said that the word "followed" here means to follow a person physically, to stick by them through thick and thin, to be by their side in fair weather and foul. It means to follow a person mentally, to attend diligently to his teaching, to fully understand the meaning and significance of what they say. It means to follow a person spiritually, not just to understand what he says, but also to carry out his ideas, to be the kind of person that you wish to be by following them. This is what Paul meant when he said in 1 Corinthians 4:16, "Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me, follow me." And the significance is that Timothy was influenced by Paul, and in many different ways. Notice the use of the pronoun "my stuff," "my teaching." See, he wasn't just clicking on the Instagram account. He wasn't just seeing the post and what people are up to and what they're promoting and selling. Timothy was fully engaged as a follower in the trenches by the side of Paul, as someone who took to heart what Paul was saying in Jesus. In essence, Paul was saying, "You followed me as your model and your mentor." Then he goes on to list how he influenced Timothy. The influence of Paul is seen through several things. There are really 9 things he lists here. He says, first of all, "You were influenced, Timothy, through my teaching." My teaching, that's a very common word in the New Testament. We translate it sometimes teaching, sometimes doctrine. Paul passed on to Timothy, in his influence, the truth of the gospel. He gave him the sound words of Scripture, but he also gave him the inspiration, teaching of the Holy Spirit through Paul as he spoke from God. So I gave you my teaching. Earlier in 2 Timothy 1:13, Paul says, "You retain the standard of sound words which you heard from me." I taught you those things. I influenced you through my teaching. The second way that we see the influence of Paul here on Timothy, verse 10, is his conduct. The word "conduct" here, his manner of life or his mode of living. Timothy was influenced by Paul by watching how he lived for Jesus. His conduct was consistent with what he taught. His manner of life backed up his message. Paul practiced what he preached. It was never "do as I say, not as I do." It was both. "Watch what I do." Then verse 10, he also was influenced by his purpose. The word "purpose" there means your personal motive for service. Timothy was influenced by Paul's singular and unwavering purpose as he was sold out to Jesus. In Acts 20:24, Paul says, one of my favorite scriptures, "I do not consider my life as of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." Paul modeled a purpose in life. He said, basically, "I am sold out to Jesus," and Timothy was influenced by that in his life. In verse 10, we also see the influence of Paul's character on Timothy. Timothy followed, he learned from, he mimicked the character qualities of Paul. And Paul summarizes those in verse 10 when he says, "You saw my faith, you saw my patience, you saw my love." Now the word faith there, I think, means more faithfulness. The word patience, makrothumia in the Greek, means long suffering. I love that word, long suffering. You saw my patience and you saw my love, agape love for people and for God. So Timothy saw those exhibited by Paul and he says, I'm going to do that too. We also see in verse 10 that Paul was influencing Timothy through his perseverance. The word perseverance in verse 10 means steadfastness or endurance. Timothy saw Paul's commitment to Jesus over the long haul, and he did not quit when the going got tough. Then verse 11, Paul was also influencing Timothy through his persecutions. His persecutions, interesting word, it literally means to be chased after. He was being chased for his faith, and verse 11 says that he was in suffering, affliction, and hardship. And then Paul gets specific in verse 11. He says, some of that suffering happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and at Lystra. Now notice it's in the past tense. These things happened to me, and Timothy is aware of them. And also it says here that it's in the tense that tells us that it was given to me. I didn't ask for this suffering, but it came to me, and I endured persecutions, verse 11, in these three cities in Asia Minor. He mentions them here, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Now understand that Paul, on his first missionary journey in Acts 13 and 14, suffered persecution and suffering. Now notice this also. Timothy is from one of those cities, Lystra. So that means that Timothy probably saw, literally saw, the persecution of Paul in his city. But it's not just that he saw it and observed it and knew about it. He also experienced it when he traveled with Paul. For example, when Paul was in Thessalonica, the people there found out that he had the word of God, been proclaiming it, and they came and they agitated and they stirred up the crowd against Paul and Timothy. In Corinth, Paul was with Timothy, and Timothy saw unbelieving Jews who came and resisted them and blasphemed them. So in other words, he understood not just that Paul was persecuted, but he went through it himself with Paul. He was influenced by Paul's suffering and how he suffered. You see, it's one thing to be a mentor or a discipler or influencer of others in good times. It's one thing for people to watch, how did you deal with the good times? It's quite another to learn, how does that Christian, that influencer, go through the hard times? How do they suffer trauma, adversity, or suffering? How do they handle that? Paul says, you watched me go through the crucible of suffering. And then verse 11, Timothy was also influenced and followed along with seeing how the Lord rescued Paul in his suffering, including when Paul was stoned and left for dead. Listen to Acts 14, 19. It says, Jews came from Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, and they won over the crowds, and they stoned Paul, and they dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples, I would think Timothy there, stood around him, he got up and he entered the city, which is amazing. He went back to preach there. In other words, Timothy probably was there. He watched Paul get stoned. People threw stones at him, left him for dead, and he saw him get healed by God and go back into ministry. Do you see the role here of the influence that Paul played in Timothy's life? And we see that Timothy learned from Paul these traits, not just with head knowledge, but watching his life. Now, Paul inserts two comments here in verses 12 and 13. One is, as his influencer, he reminds Timothy, as his discipler, verse 12, that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be, future tense, persecuted. Jesus said in John 15, 20, remember the word I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. It's a good truth to remember today. The other comment he makes in verse 13, the reason why persecution can come is that evil men and imposters, he says, will proceed from bad to worse. The word imposter here comes from the word for the wizard who mutters and wails spells and incantations. The King James translates it seducers. These are people who pretend to have magical powers, and they're evil. And he identifies these people in verses 2-5 again, and they're going to get worse. He says Christians know that the world's going to get worse in evil. The paraphrase of the Living Bible says, verse 13, unscrupulous con men will continue to exploit the faith. They are as deceived as the people they lead astray. As long as they are out there, things can only get worse. We've talked about that last week. So the role of the influencer or the discipler is to set the example in word and deed of what it means to be a Christ follower. You're an influencer, okay? Then we notice, second of all, the role of the follower. If you have the influencer, what about the disciple? The role of the follower. Well, he says in verse 14, the role of the follower is to continue to be influenced. Now notice again in verse 14 that the word you is emphatic. It's emphasized here in the Greek. It's the first word. So he talks about it in verse 10, you followed, past tense, but now he says you, again, present tense, in contrast, are a follower to continue following. And the word continue here in verse 14 means to abide, remain, or to dwell. It's a very familiar word to us Christians in John 15, where Jesus said, abide, same word, in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So Paul is saying, you are doing what Jesus tells you to do. You are remaining, you are abiding in the truth that I've given you. And by the way, it's in the imperative command. So in other words, you're to do this in present tense. You're to continue to abide in the things you've learned and have become convinced of. And then he says at the end of verse 14, from whom also you have learned them. So Paul is telling us here, not only am I an influencer in your life, but so too has been your grandmother and your mother, and other people have brought you along in the faith, and you're to continue, you're to abide in these things. Notice he doesn't just say my stuff. He says all the things that we've been telling you about Jesus, everything you've learned about the truth, you're to confirm your faith by following these things. Keep abiding in these things. So the role of the follower is to continue on in growing in Jesus. The never-ending process of all of us becoming more like Jesus. We never arrive, but we press on toward a greater life in Christ, greater maturity. So that's kind of the idea here, the influencer and the follower. But what I want to do now is to apply that to our lives. In order to be influencers for and followers of Jesus today, what encouragement does Paul give us here to finish our course as influencers and followers? Well, first of all, to finish our course, we need to have influencers in our lives. Influencers in our lives for Jesus. Those like Paul who model Jesus for us. It doesn't matter how long you have been a Christian, for a few years or many, many years, we need influencers. See, Paul could have said, listen, or Timothy could have said, I've been following you for 20 years, Paul. I'm good. I got this. I'm going to move on in my life. I've arrived. But he doesn't do that. He continues to grow. We need to keep looking for those who can influence us in our walk with Jesus. Those who God can place in our lives who model the conduct of Christ. They have a single-minded purpose to follow Jesus. They show faith, love, and patience. Those who keep teaching us the Word of God, the truths of Christ. Those who show us how to persevere through trials and suffering, and yet do so with grace and faith. I love the fact that in our church family, we have so many that are great models to us of what it means to walk through trials and tribulations and sufferings, and yet they do it with God's grace. Health issues, grief, family crises, struggles in life. who have great faith in Jesus. They're influencing us because of how they live their lives in trusting Christ. One of those people in my life, certainly in Janelle's life, is her dad, Leroy. It was over 9 years ago that my mother-in-law suffered this incredibly debilitating stroke. And she's been in a convalescent home now for those 9+ years, can barely talk, cannot move hardly. And every day of his life, my father-in-law is down there loving on his wife, keeping his vows for better, for worse. And when you want to ask me, do I have a model of what it means to go with Jesus through hard times? My father-in-law is that person, day in and day out. It is good for you today and I to ask, who's influencing me for Jesus? Who am I on the road with, up close and personal? Who can I watch and rub shoulders with and learn from? If you don't have somebody like that, I would ask you, please pray, God, bring me somebody in my life who can be that kind of model. And it's good to thank God today and them for that influence in your life. Thank you for being an influencer in my life. We recently lost one of our dear members and dear friends of mine, Bob Barrows. Bob and Lorna, I think, have been in the church over 25 years, but I've known Bob since I was 18 years old. We actually met in the church in California that I attended there, and he was the chairman of the deacon board, and I served with him. So I was 18 years old. That means I've known Bob for 46 years. And I've had the privilege of over those years watching him encourage Janelle and I day in and day out. Talk about a loyal life for Jesus. And as he passed away, just before he went to be with the Lord, I got a chance to sit with Bob. And I said, Bob, thank you. Thank you for all the years that you have been a faithful influencer for Jesus in my life. Thank you for that witness. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the result of their conduct and imitate their faith. Thank them. If you know, if you're around them, you can thank them. To finish our course, we need to have influencers in our lives. But second of all, to finish our course, we need to seek to be influencers. We should still seek to be influencers. Earlier on in the letter, Paul says in chapter 2, verse 2, the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So we pass the faith along. We should be influencing others. Wherever God has and whatever he's poured into your life, you pour it into others. You don't have to attend seminary. You don't have to have a great deal of Bible knowledge. You don't have to be a Christian for many years. You can be an influencer on other people. It boils down to your character in Christ, what you do know, to pass it on. First and foremost, do you have a relationship of a sincere faith in Jesus? And if you do, pass it on. The Scottish historian Thomas Carlyle's father one time was discussing with him what kind of minister their church needed. And his father said, what this church needs is a man who knows Christ other than second hand. Do you know Jesus personally? And if you do, you can pass that faith along. You can be an influencer. You parents here, my goodness, what an opportunity you have to influence your children in teaching them, showing your conduct of what it means to follow Jesus, to have patience with them and faith and love. To remind them of your purpose in life is not to get money or possessions, but to love Jesus, to have them watch you handle adversity, suffering, persecution. They see the model of Christ in you. The same can be said for grandparents, or how about you siblings? Don't discount the fact that if you have brothers and sisters, you can influence them for Jesus. Your brothers and sisters in your family. I think about several who've told me that their older kids, their older siblings, led them to Christ even. What an opportunity you have to keep rubbing shoulders with those you live with, your friends to friends, as children leaders, as youth leaders, growth group leaders, influencing, to identify someone who you can influence for Jesus. And if you don't have somebody in your life, that you can do that with, I pray you would pray that prayer, Lord, who can I be influencing for Christ? Not at some distance, but again, on the road with them to get up close and personal. We too can be influencers, not for profit or gain or self-serving narcissism, but because we've received from Jesus what we long to share with others, to point people to Jesus. The Puritan pastor and commentator Matthew Henry was nearing the end of his life, but he wrote this near the end when he said, "If only I may be instrumental to make others wise and good, wiser and better, more watchful against sin, and more careful of their duty both to God and man, more in love with the Word of God, I have all I desire, all I aim at. If I can just keep influencing other people for Jesus." But finally, the ultimate goal of doing that, to finish the course, is we must never stop being followers of Jesus. We must never stop being followers of Jesus. Whatever influencers we have must always point us to Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Be imitators of me, yes, just as I also am of Christ." See, Paul's not boasting here of himself. He is not being an exhibitionist. Look at me. He is not being a celebrity, but a servant of Christ. We live in an Instagram world. People boasting of all their followers, having millions of followers. Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, all of it. But our goal is to have Jesus have the number of followers that matters. How many followers does Jesus have? That's what matters most. It's always about Him. He increases, we decrease. It was good that Timothy followed Paul in character and conduct and knowledge of Jesus and his teaching. But notice again, verse 14, the continuation in the things learned is not a shrine to Paul, but a continual seeking of faithfulness to Jesus. You know, I confess to you this morning that I am not social media savvy. I looked it all up. I don't know who's influencing who or how many followers people have. But I do know this. I want to be influenced by people who know Jesus and follow Him. Those who model what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. I do want to be an influencer. Not for social notoriety or fame or fortune, but as one who influences others in character and conduct to teach about Jesus. And here's what I want for all of us. I want us to continue as His followers, to continue in the things we've learned and become convinced of, so that when all is said and done, and the question could be asked, I wonder how many followers Jesus has. Not these other people. I wonder how many followers Jesus has. And to be able to say, me and you. Me and you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that we truly have been influenced, all of us, by people who follow Jesus, and therefore we want to influence others. God, I thank you so much for the relationship between Paul and Timothy. I love reading this book because of that relationship. Because there was no bragging, there was no pride, but simply the summary of a life lived well to pass on to others. Lord, we're all at different ages, some of us closer to glory than others. But Lord, when all is said and done, what we want to look back on is how were we influenced for Christ and how have we followed Him and influenced others. Lord, make us faithful to do that in the small and the big ways of life. May we affect others for the love of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.